The Word of God is sharper than any two-edged sword. In a world where the line between right and wrong has become increasingly blurred, it is of utmost importance that believers are able to stand firmly on the Word of God. Stay tuned as Pastor Ben Lawson from Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills in Aberdeen, North Carolina, brings us another teaching from the Sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, on The Cutting Edge.
So let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the love chapter, chapter 13. And we'll begin there. Did anyone bring your handouts from last week? Yeah? Do we have any more? Do you know? Stan, do we have any more of these back there? There you go. If you don't have one, raise your hand. You can take notes on them, okay? Because I'm not going to have any life lessons this morning. You guys, you just... And look, as we go through love described, love defined, each one of these, write something down, jot something down. Like, I'm doing really good at that. Or, no, I'm not doing good at that love. And just write that down. It's for your own self. And moms and dads, if we have some young people in here, this is... that writes stuff down on this. Don't be looking your Bibles, okay? Let them have some privacy on this. And so, if you have one of these, give me a hearty amen. Well, you got four or five. Hearty amen.
Amen.
Man, is the coffee weak this morning? I don't know. You guys just got sleeping. Oh, that's right. It was the time change. Time change. That's, yeah, let's blame it on it. What did we learn last week? This is, by the way, part two. Love defined, part two. What did we learn last week? A couple things, didn't we? We learned that in the Old Testament, that if you came in looking for the high priest, and you ask one of the doormen in the temple where he was, they would probably say, just a minute. Be quiet, and you'll hear where he is. Because you see, these priests wore bells that was woven into their robes they wore at the bottom of the robe. And these bells would actually sing a harmony as they would go about their work. And something that's even crazier than that is that each one of them played a different harmony. And not to mention that there was a pomegranate in between the bells. Wow. So now we understand Paul, what you said about clanging cymbals. I get it now, Paul, because you have to remember, Paul was a priest. He was in the Sanhedrin. He was a Jew of Jews. And he knew this stuff, and he knew exactly what that meant. And so when he wrote that if we don't have love, we're just mouthing, we're just having Jimmy come up here and bang on a cymbal. It's nothing. There's no harmony. But with a pomegranate of love, wow, what great harmony can we have? Old Testament picture or illustration of a New Testament principle. And so just as that, 13 here is a book of the chapter of love. It's sandwiched in between what? It's a pomegranate. It's sandwiched in between what? 12 and 14, which is chapters of spiritual gifts. And so what is Paul trying to say? He said, hey, you can have all these spiritual gifts. You can have tongues up, you know, out of the world. You can prophesy. You can heal. You can do all these different things. But if you don't have love, you're not a squat. You got nothing. You're just walking around being prideful with your nose in the air. Wow. That's why I enjoyed Gilbert. When I first met him, I asked God about him, and he says he's a gentle man. And number two, he gives all the glory to God. You see, there's two types of people that will honor God with their testimonies. I don't care if they're charismatic or evangelical or what, but the difference is one is not puffed up on the inside, and he doesn't have to show everybody that he's something. I think our text indicates that you're not puffed up. You don't parade yourself around. And you find those two different people, I would say, that in the spiritual gifts parade themselves around. They puff themselves up, and they think they're somebody because God has allowed them and given them some gifts. But whoa, wait a minute. If that man has love, or woman has love that has been an agape love, oh, not those other three types of love, but the agape love, they get that, and then the gifts, oh my goodness. Well, you better look out, because he'll set the world on fire. And so that's what we went over last week, pretty much, that you got to have love, especially using gifts, whether they be the operational gifts in Romans. Remember, we went through that, those operational gifts that you have, helps and teaching and hospitality gifts, those kind of gifts. And then also these spiritual gifts that we see in 12 and 14. If you don't have love with that, if you're not into your word and knowing exactly how to use those and when to use them and all the rest, you're just clanging. You're just a flat tire. You ever have a flat tire? First of all, it's a bummer, isn't it? Amen? Who wants a flat tire? I want a flat tire. And when you hear that thing blow, and it goes, wah, 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 that's what I'm talking about. You know when that thing blows, and you hear it if you've ever been in that situation, that there ain't no love in that tire for you. That's nothing but a long, long, long road. It's hard work. And that's what it is. It's hard work when you don't have love. You try and you press against, like Jesus told Paul, what are you kicking against the goads? What are you doing here? You're trying to do all this and be spiritual and all that, but you don't have any love for anyone. And so I think it was brilliant, the Holy Spirit putting this chapter, Paul writing this chapter in between these other two chapters. Well, again, last week, and for the rest of our time this morning, we're going to look at 15 definitions that Paul gives in his word. And last week, we started with love suffers long. Amen? You guys remember that, right? Love suffers long. Or love always forgives. Whoa, now, Pastor, wait a minute. You haven't lived with my kid recently, have you? You don't know my wife or my husband. Are you kidding me? No, it does. That's what agape love does. It suffers long. And it always forgives. Always. Wow. Peter knew this. He was speaking to Jesus. Remember last week we spoke about? And he said, Jesus, I'm kind of arrived here. I'm the big dog now. He says, you know what? You forgive someone 7 times. Feeling really good about himself, thinking, oh, this is a great answer for God. And Christ said, no, Peter, sorry, 7 times 70. What was Christ saying? He says, you forgive him so many times that you forget why you're forgiving him. But so many times. Of course, Peter went, oh, my bad, Lord. I need to learn more. You keep forgiving him until you lose track. The times you forgive him. That's hard, isn't it, gang? Is that hard? I know for me it's hard. Are you kidding? What I want to do is run over all the stuff that's patented, all the different, for years I'm talking to, for years, and then I'll finally forgive him after I give him a good tongue lashing. And they better not say nothing while I'm tongue lashing them, or I have to start over again. No, love forgives. Forgives many, many times. Tell everyone. Speak to everyone. Someone starts talking about their spouse or their kids or their relatives, you remind them of that. Love always forgives. Always forgives. And so, we also know that Paul tells us not only to forgive and to that we love suffers long, but we need to be kind. Now, wait a minute. I can suffer long, you know? I really can. And I can forgive a bunch of times, but be kind? Whoa. If I'm suffering long, and it's the same thing over and over again, I ain't kind. Don't look at me for kindness. One of my sons, he runs a rehab now. He used to do worship here for us. Anyway, as a kid, he couldn't connect A, B, C. Well, in other words, let me explain it to you like this. He'd take the trash out. I said, take the trash out, Jake. He'd take the trash out. And then he'd leave the can sitting right there in the middle of the floor with no bag in it. Okay, Jake. He'd be in sitting down somewhere. Come here, you got to finish the job. B, you have to put a trash can liner in the can. So he puts that trash can liner in the can. And then he goes, sits down. I'm like, now put the can back underneath the counter where it goes. You know, people don't do that. Sometimes, and then by the time I'm telling him to put the trash can, so that was all right, I guess. I got over that. I suffered long with that, amen? I mean, wouldn't you? So, it was only about the 20th time I told him to do this. Next day, he's supposed to do the gutters for me. Go outside, get on the ladder, do the gutters. Well, my wife and I, we went to Lowe's, and I came back, and he's sitting out there drinking iced tea. I said, so, Jake, did you do the gutters? Yeah, I did the gutters. I looked up at my gutters, and they're full of pine straw. And so then I said, you didn't do the gutters? And he looked up at the gutters. Then he looked at the great big gutter there in the street. And then he looked at the gutters up there, and then he looked at the gutter in the street. That was the best clean gutter in the street I've ever seen in my life. I was not kind, okay? I flipped out. So you have to be kind, you see, if you suffer long. You have to be kind. You know, we need to be kind. Check this out. Love is long-suffering, but remember this, yet while it's suffering, it doesn't become bitter or critical. It remains kind. It's important. That's important for us to know, especially in marriages. You know, with difficult children, with just anyone that you hang with for a period of time, and it just doesn't seem like they're getting the picture. Doesn't seem like they're really getting it, you know? Kind. You have to continue to be kind. It's tough, but that's the agape. That's God's love. Number three, last week, if you're taking notes, love does not envy. Never ask why another is exalted or promoted. You know, we learned last week, Psalm, also we saw in Numbers where the Lord says, I lift up and I take down. He's the one that lifts people up and he's the one that takes them down. And so if someone is exalted, it's a brother, you need to praise God for it. Romans tells us there also that 15, I think it's Romans 15, says that we need to rejoice with those rejoicing, sorrow with those that sorrow. So love doesn't ever complain that somebody got better than you did. Is that grammatically correct? Got better? My wife was here? No way. She probably stopped the service and correct me. But it is. It is. You can't. I don't care if it's in sports. No, we all want Carolina to win, but that wasn't God's deal. Okay? I wanted to show a little love on Manny out there, Peyton. But seriously, whether it be elections, sports, church, or this last week, or just life itself, God's the one that exalts, and God's the one that takes down. Now, I believe with all my heart, and I said this last week, we need to get out there and vote. And we need to vote with our Bibles. Our Bibles. I don't care about no taxes. I don't care about, although, you know, I'd like to see our taxes go down. But, you know, I don't care about any of that as a pastor. I'm here for one reason only, and this is the Word of God. Infallible Word of God. And when people say it's fallible, that gets me hotter under the collar, but I got to love them anyway, right? Got to love them anyway. So vote with your Bibles. That's all I'm saying. Vote with your Bibles and then see what God would do. Maybe God wouldn't want somebody that's biblical in there. You won't get, would you, here's a scenario for you. I tell people this all the time. They hate me for it, but here we go. So would you rather have some bum in the White House that will bring us closer to getting out of this dirt bowl than have some other guy that'll prolong rapture for 20, 30 years? Not me. Bring it. I want to go home, man. I want to get out of here. Amen? Yeah, I mean, if you really, really think about it and you're an on fire Christian and person and you're just on fire for Jesus and you're going, look, you know, I'm going to just burn for him bright. I'm going to love everyone to death until he comes back, but come back tomorrow. Yeah. And then we also looked at love is, doesn't try to prove itself. It doesn't say, look at me, look at me, look at me over here. And that's one thing Paul talks about in tongues, where, you know, people a lot of times will speak in tongues and they'll get a little pride. Because, look, I speak in tongues, man. Well, I interpret tongues. Well, I heal people. Well, I mean, like Gilbert this morning, he gave all the glory to God, didn't he? None of it in his own. He didn't do none of that. It was all the Lord. But he's listening to God. You have to listen to God. You have to get into his word and listen to him and see what he would say. There's been many, many times that God has spoken to me about different people in this church. Just come right out and spoke to me about it as I'm in my word. There, he'll just put them on my heart. I'll pray for him and I'll come to him and I'll talk to him about what God's spoken to me about. Harrison, our lead guitar player, the Lord spoke a word and I went and told him. And, you know, don't ask him because I told him not to tell anyone. But it was a good word of encouragement. But we have to have love. We have to put the other one first. And so it doesn't try to prove itself. It doesn't try to say, oh, look at me, I'm so cool. You know, I got the toilet brush and I'm going in the bathroom, everybody, to wash the church toilet. We got a great crew of people who come in and clean the church. I never hear from them. They just come in faithfully. Never hear from them, never. Just awesome stuff. And so, puffed up or parades himself? What's the difference between the two? I told you last week, correct? Puffed up is inside, parading is on the outside. And so pretty much if you're looking at a TV evangelist and he's strutting around like a chicken or like a rooster and he's screaming at you, pretty much you know there's some puffiness going on there a little bit and parading itself. Now, if you give all the glory to God, amen. But you got to give all the glory to God, for we are absolutely nothing without God. Do you know that? Nothing. We can't even surrender ourselves unless he wills it in our life. Do you know that? Nothing. There's nothing we can do without him intervening for us. Remember, we've given our lives to him. We've surrendered it. We've pierced our ear to the door. It's none of us but all of him. We're dead men and women. You know what's cool about dead men and women? You can kick him. Dead man, you can kick him. He won't react. You can kick him right in the ribs. He just lays there. It's no problem. Right? He's not complaining. He's dead. And that's what we've been called to do, is die to ourselves and love others and quit parading around. And so, rather it works behind the scenes, love does, doesn't it? You do something behind. You ever done something behind the scenes, and then you just kind of wait, and you don't tell anyone. You know what? And the inside, man, you know it, right? God is loving you on the inside. You're walking around going, "Yes, they got blessed." They don't know who did it. I did it, but I ain't telling no one. And you just walking around. The Holy Spirit's just loving on you, You ever done that? I do that sometimes. I'll send my wife a lovey-dovey card in the mail, you know, and I can't wait for her to get it. Sometimes she gets it, she didn't tell me. And so I come in, I'm looking in the mailbox, I got any mail, honey, today? You know, she'll tell me. And finally she tells me, or it shows up somewhere. That's just so cool, isn't it? Just walk around, yeah, I did something for someone. I didn't tell anyone about it. That's so awesome. Now, I don't tell my granddaughter because she tells Nani everything. Everything. She's coming over to the house after church for just a bit. And we're going to go to some kids' movie. And I've really got a problem. My wife's out of town, as you know, and I've had to clean the house up because if I don't clean the house up, she'll get on the phone, she'll call my wife and tell on me. The little truth machine, you know. How did I get off on that? I don't know. Anyway, back to loving. Number six, if you're taking notes, so don't parade. Number six, love doesn't have to be rude. It doesn't have to behave rudely. Remember what I said last week? Don't be a jerk for Jesus. It doesn't work. It just doesn't work. I'd much rather hear, as Paul says, a testimony like you guys gave today than to hear someone on a bullhorn. That's not love. Last week we talked about that confuse. Sometimes you confuse weirdness with love. Some people say, I'm going to demonstrate my love for Jesus and get on the megaphone and sandwich board. I'm just going to let them have it, rip it right up. Last week, I think I told you, there was a man across the street. I'm sure he loved the Lord, but he just got on his bullhorn on Sunday morning and Saturday night, and every car that drive by, he wouldn't even say, do you love Jesus? He'd just blast out, you're going to hell! Oh, my bad. That's love. Here, let me repent. No, I don't think so. And I went over and talked to him. I tried to tell him about the grace of God, that, you know, one-on-one testimonies, one-on-one is great, but this whole bullhorn thing, this doesn't work for me. And he, of course, didn't like what I said. And so I walked away, and as I was walking away, he said, you're going to hell. And I think he turned it up. I think he turned the mic. You know, you're going to hell. He's really mad at me. So I told him, I invited him to church. He never came. But so let's not be bullhorns, okay? There's much better ways to do. One-on-one is the best. Now, I like revivals. You know, you bring people to revivals. You bring people to conferences. We're having a conference real soon coming up here. And we're going to have some people come in from Fort Lauderdale. It's going to be awesome. But here's the thing. You know, you can grab someone and bring them. And that's awesome. Just, you know, homeless people, it don't matter. Bring them in here. They need to get in here. This is a hospital. It's not a sanctuary for saints. It's a hospital for sinners. We need to get them in here. But here's the thing. What do we do out there? What do we do out there? You know, you've seen the cliche about you're entering the mission field when you go outside the door here. Do we really know that and do that? Look, I keep talking about Gilbert a little bit, and I wish I had some dirt on you, man, so we could even this thing out. Because all I'm doing is, you know, you're great. But when I met the guy, he didn't even say, look, I got this, I do this job, and we're going to do this. He immediately started talking about Jesus. I said, now, this guy is my kind of guy. Let's go to Walmart and witness. You know, it's just, I love doing that. And you don't have to get out there in the middle of Walmart with a bullhorn. What you do, which is more like my style, you get until, you know, you get at the counter there where there's a line behind you, and then you pray with the cash registered lady. Because they all got problems. I mean, I've asked them. There's not one cash lady, registered lady at Walmart that doesn't have a problem. Every time I ask them to pray with them, what can I pray for? They immediately. And usually it's just about family. And so do we do that? Do we go after those people? Is there someone that God's laid on your heart that doesn't even go to church? There's a grocery, produce manager at Walmart. I was on him for a year. a year. I'd come in there, go through the gate there at Walmart, and I'd kind of walk over to the left there where the produce is. If he'd see me, he'd go in another room. He'd go in the back room. He wouldn't come out. Every time I did, it was on him and on him. And one day, he got saved between the tomatoes and the potatoes. Right there. Gave his life to God. I don't know if I was just pestering him too much, but you know what? In real time, I got to know him. I got to know him. We talked about hunting, fishing, family, even before I brought up Christ. It's a one-on-one thing, I think. Now, again, yes, revivals and crusades and things like that are important. You bring someone that's not saved, they get saved. But it's got to be a one-on-one. It has to be continued either. You just don't catch the fish and that's it. And all the, you know, jump out of the boat. I mean, who knows? You know, once you catch that fish, you got to show them some love. You have to show them that they care, that you care about them, and that this thing is real. That's just not, well, I got another, you know, notch on my belt here. You got to get into their lives and pray with them, and the deep things that hurt, man, that Romans tells us, Paul says, look, there's sometimes you go to prayer, you don't even know what to pray for. It's just the utterances that God gives you, it explains how bad you're hurting. That's when you love someone. And so we need to not behave rudely. We need to one-on-one with them. And then finally, last week, we spoke about that it doesn't demand, love doesn't demand its own way. That's a biggie, isn't it? Love doesn't demand its own way. Number 7 is in verse 5. Authority doesn't demand respect. Authority should not demand respect. The only way authority earns respect is through love. The agape love. Respect affirms and gives birth to authority. Amen? You catch that? Just because you have some title somewhere, just because you're an authoritative figure somewhere, doesn't give you immediate respect, does it? Oh, you might respect the position, but the man with the position, that's earned. That respect is earned. That authority is earned through respect. I've worked with guys, but I call them boneheads, okay? I mean, that's endearing, isn't it? Bonehead? Anyway, I've worked with some boneheads that own the company even. They have authority. But I don't respect them a bit. I respect the position they hold. But then themselves? Unbelievable. And so you need respect. If you are in a position of authority, you earn that through respect. And guys, ladies, you know we're supposed to love our wives, right? I've never seen in the Bible it says respect your wife. You know why that is? Because we'll respect our wives. I mean, if someone says something bad about your wife, what do? You go to war, right? We respect our wives. Do we love them? Sometimes. Sometimes. Ladies, you have no problem loving your wife. Loving your husband. You have no problem loving your kids. That's what God's put in you. You just lovey-dovey. You women are just lovey-dovey people. You don't go to war against people. Men, they like war. They need war. They want a war. Where you ladies, you're in the more, you know, and so, but what is your problem? Well, God knows your problem is you don't respect that guy next to you like you used to. Because you've seen him, he's infallible. No, he's not. He messes up all the time. Look, I talked to my wife, Carter, the other day, and I said, okay, honey, do you respect me as much as you did when you married me? No way. I didn't know you like I know you now. And we've had some pitfalls in the last 34 years.
Really?
Yeah. But you know what? God's called me to respect you, so I'm going to respect you. And the more that I respect you, the more that I fall in love with you. And the more that I respect you, the more that God just does this thing. And the more I love my wife and, you know, just, I don't care, love her. She'd come in the middle of a Green Bay Packer game, fourth quarter, fourth and one to win the game, and turn the TV off. I wouldn't love her. No, I would love her. Yeah. I'd love her anyway. You got to. You just got to. Well, respect, we have to understand respect. Now, Jesus earned respect, didn't he? Everything he did, he got direction from the Father. And then whatever he asked us to do, he did it first. He asked us to die to self. What did God do? He climbed on the cross and died to self, didn't he? Everything, if you check it out, everything that God, in the person of Jesus Christ, asked others to do, he did it first. If he asked you to clean the toilet, he cleaned it first. He just did. That's how he rolled. He was other-centered. Gang, this concept put forth by God is a key to a good marriage. A good marriage, guys, listen, it's very important to know that if when you start demanding your own will in your marriage, guys, can I be blunt with you? Can I be honest? That's a long, dark, lonely road. There is no end to that road. You will not get respect from your wife if you start demanding your own will. You get respect by serving others. That's love. Serving others. Not by cranking out your own will. Now, if it's God's will, that's different. I know there's many times that, although my wife has a gift of discernment, and I'll ask her about different things, there's sometimes that I just go, well, honey, this is what we're going to do. I know you don't really into it, but we're going to do this. And then I pray, God, please let it be the right decision. Because she, we're like, I'm like 5 and she's like 25, you know, in good decisions. So I always try to ask her. But by the power of the Holy Spirit, we know exactly what God wants us to do. If you don't know, if you're in a predicament with the Lord, there's only three things that he's saying to you. Yes, no, or wait. And if he tells you to wait, you need to have your nose in that Bible. I mean deep in that Bible. That's the only way you're going to know his will. And then pray and ask him. And the Holy Spirit will give you his will for your life. Number 8, if you're taking notes, love does not provoke. Provoke. Do not, same word in the original language that you see, don't provoke your kids. You ever provoke your kids? I do it all the time. I love it. In jest, of course. And just clowning around. Provoke them just a bit. But God says, don't, love does not provoke. In the King James, although it is not italicized, the word easily, if you have a King James that says, don't easily provoke, that is completely wrong. That shouldn't even be in there in the original. It just says, don't provoke. It doesn't say easily. So you're saying, okay, well, I tried the best I could, and so now I'm provoked. No, there's no gray area here. It means don't provoke, period. So love is simply not provoked. Phileo, Arios, they're always provoked. Storge can be irritated. All three of those can be aggravated. Provoked, but not agape love. It can't be provoked. God is never provoked. Well, number 9, again, if you're a note taker, love thinks no evil. You ever think evil? I'm sure someone's going to raise their hand. Yeah, Pastor, yesterday I just thought about evil, doing evil. Newer translations render this, love is not suspicious. That's kind of cool. Look. Marty, me and Marty have known each other for a long time, Pastor Marty. And we hang out all the time. He feeds me. I love it. You know, we'll go and hang out for lunch or whatever. Well, all of a sudden this guy came down and he got involved in the church and his name was Mike. And he comes in the church office and he's hanging out, you know, and next thing I know, Marty's hanging out with Mike. He's getting all my food. I'm losing weight. I'm like, well, how come they're hanging out? What's going on with that? I got suspicious. I called them both in the office. I told them they were both fired. No, I'm kidding you. I didn't get suspicious. Why? Can I trust them? I love them. Love doesn't get suspicious. And if you are suspicious, you got some problems. You need to get that worked out. You need to go to the Lord. You need to call on the Holy Spirit. You need to speak maybe to someone that can help give you help. But love always trusts. In other words, true love trusts. Gang, when I think I can't trust him, or I've got to keep my eye on her, it's because I no longer believe that God is on the throne. He just can't handle this one. I've got to be involved instead of just praying for him. Able to deal with this situation, God, you can't do that. I've got to deal with this situation. Hebrews 4:13 reminds us that all things are naked and open before him. Don't you think that he knows what's going on? Hebrews 4:13, I'm not sure if it's going to come up on the board. It might. We had it last week. Don't have the time. Let's move on. In addition, Hebrews 12:6, God chastens and corrects those he loves. And so rely on God. Rely on God. Therefore, agape love doesn't think evil of people. Why? Because it has absolute trust, in Jesus the Christ and the faithfulness of our Father to handle it. This does. Now, I know those tendencies can creep in where you think, you know, you don't trust someone and it's a horrible thing and the enemy will just feed on that. Give it to God. He's a better I forget the name of it, that tracks you, you know, EPS, EPA. No. GPS, thank you, sister. No, the EPA is evil. It's the devil. No, just kidding. Okay, so know that. And true love does not rejoice in iniquity. Number 11, it doesn't rejoice when someone gets hurt. Or someone, you know, has a fall, or gets fired, whatever. And look, here's the thing. We don't rejoice when trouble or problems befall others. Now, here's the ticket. Even if they're a result of his own stupidity or iniquity. Did you catch that? Oh, many times we can say, oh, those poor people, and we need to pray for them. But then you come up with someone that's just a knucklehead. And guess what? It's those words that we should never use. He deserved it. No. Not if you're operating in agape love. He didn't deserve it. You know why he didn't deserve it? Well, wait a minute. Maybe he did. Maybe he did deserve it, you say. But you have to remember, you deserved it too. We all deserve death. We all deserve to be crispy critters. I'm telling you, if I was God, half of you in here would be smoking right now. And I don't mean cigarettes. You'd just be crispy critters. I'm glad I'm not God. Amen? Yeah. But that's the truth. We need to understand. But those people that we say should deserve it are the ones that need more prayer. Or prayer. That's a hard one, isn't it? Oh, he deserved it. That guy hurt me. That woman did this. They deserved it. How many times have I said that? And it's sin. Straight up sin. Now, your love could distinguish who deserves it and who doesn't. But that's not very good, is it? Like, what, you know, who are we grading here? But God's love, agape love, says not to rejoice. Not to rejoice when someone falls, when someone messes up, even if he does deserve it. Agape doesn't do that. It just doesn't do that. It's saddened. We pray. That kind of love, anyone messes up, we pray for the salvation. Or we pray for whatever they're going through, whether they deserve it or not. Love rejoices in the truth. Rejoices in the truth. And that's number 11. Some translators render truth as good. In other words, love says to another, you're lifted up, you got a raise, you got a promotion, you're being honored. Good. No, great. That's great, man. I'm behind that. Oh, man, I'm rejoicing with you. It's awesome. I'm delighted for you. Gang, love rejoices when the other guy does well, even when you don't like him. There's something about him that you just don't. There's something about that couple, those people. We need to rejoice if they're believers. We need to rejoice with them. When the other guy does well, when the other guy's blessed. Paul echoes that again in Romans 12:15 for you note takers. He says, rejoice with those who rejoice and sorrow with those who sorrow. Verse 7 finishes the definition of love with three different things. 12, 13, 14, 15. I've experienced that you are, if you are one who bears all things, if you're one that believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things, that people accuse you of, well, sometimes being ignorant, naive, or blind to situations in life. I remember raising our children, 5, and I would believe anything. And my wife, you don't get by her. Remember, she's got the gift of discernment. So when my boys would come in and they would tell me some long story that was just nothing but a bald-faced lie, my wife would immediately, one of my sons said that he would talk to us with his face toward the wall or away from us, because every time he looked at my wife, Carla, she'd bust him. And he just had to tell the truth. It was like, I can't lie to Mom. Believes all things. You know, if you say that, if you go, well, you're just blind. Your love is blind. Guess what, gang? They're going to be wrong. Because agape love is not blind. It's not ignorant. It's not naive. Quite the opposite. Actually, agape love, God's love, because love sees more, it's willing to see less. Been there? Who said amen? Raise your hand. Who? Well, come on! You're right, sister. Amen. I love that. Because it sees more, it's willing to see less. Look at some pictures the other day. And I was like 32. And I was up on top of this mountain in Mexico. And I had my wife next to me, Carla. I was on this big cliff, and I had this rope, you know. I was in my swimming trunks, and I was just looking like, yeah. Yeah. Carla said, love bears all things. Not so much anymore, honey. I love you so much that I'm able to see over things. Yeah. Love does that. Well, what does it see? In closing, I'll tell you what it sees. It sees the price that was paid on the cross of Calvary. That's what it sees. And every one of us deserve that. They see the cross of Calvary for that person or that situation that threatens to make us mad or bitter. That's what love sees. The older I get, gang, the more I clearly see the work of the cross. It eliminates any kind of non-love attitude, the cross. I see the reality of the Holy Spirit's power to convict people. I see the promise of the Father, the direction of the Father for us, that in due season, if they choose not to listen to the Word and respond, the Bible tells us that the Spirit will be sure that the sin will track them down, will open up like a Christmas turkey. That's what I see. That's what I know. And so we have to understand it's not our job to open that turkey up. It's God's, and He will. It's our job to love them. It's our job to pick them back up after God does His thing and to show the reality of love for one another through agape love. Because look, man, God ain't no joke. If He's calling you and you're playing Him, there's going to be some stuff. There's going to be some fallout. And so I don't want to be in that fallout. I want to be outside that fallout. But after it falls out, I want to get right in there. And I want to be Red Cross. I don't mean the Red Cross. I mean the Red Cross. The blood of Christ. The cross that comes in there and loves them. You have to be looking for that. Now, gang, here's how this plays out. So rather than feeling I have to solve every problem and deal with every situation, I can simply bear with, believe in, hope, and best for the best for people because of the commitment Jesus made to them, not to me, but to them when He died for them. Bear, endure, believe, hope, like our children. Extended families and even friends, don't we bear and endure a lot? Who's got children in here? Let me see your hands. Do you endure a lot? Oh, yeah. And children, if you're in here, don't you endure a lot from your parents? And let me tell you, as we get older, you're going to endure a lot more. Right? I told Lindsay, she's my daughter here. I told her, I said, Lindsay, you know, have you ever thought about enduring a lot with me? Oh, Dad, I endure a lot with you. Oh, yeah? Well, how about when I'm like 106 and you have to change my underwear, my diaper? How about that? You going to endure that? No way. I'll hire someone. Enduring all things. Bearing all things. Man, it's hard. It's rough. Now, here's the key question. How can we exhibit this kind of love? Isn't that we're at the end of the rope here, at the end of the road, rather, when we talk about definitions of love, defining love. Well, how do we do that? Pastor, please give me some how-tos. Well, the key, and the only key, by the way, is to let Jesus Christ live through us, in us, through us, because He is the embodiment of these love characteristics. Remember, this agape love is Jesus. That's what this whole chapter's about. It's about Him and His love for us. Oh yeah, we're supposed to take that love. We're supposed to show it to one another. But this whole thing is an embodiment of Jesus the Christ and His love for us. We know that. That was the first message I gave when I opened up this book or opened up this chapter. It's Him. So we need to sink into that. That's the only way we can do that because He embodies the love characteristics that we see in chapter 13. We can't psych ourselves up into this frenzy of, I'm going to love, I'm going to love. We can't do that, gang. In fact, this kind of love is nothing less than the fruit of the Spirit. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Anyone? Isn't it love? And then the byproduct of love is all the other self-control, all that. But it's love. That's the fruit, by the way. It didn't say fruits. Did it say fruits? No, it says fruit, singular. It's love. And then, of course, if you got this agape love, all this other stuff kind of just, we all try to say, okay, I'm going to be self-control. I'm going to do this. I'm going to be fruits of the Spirit, you know. But we have no love. We can't get it done. We have to have love. We have to have that ingredient of love, and then the rest of the fruits, then will mature. But as I walk with the Lord, talk to the Lord, learn about the Lord, His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, produces the character in me ever so slowly. Ever so slowly, but ever so surely. That will last. It will last for eternity. That's why I think it takes so much time. But it will. It will. John 15:5 declares, if you abide in me, you shall bring forth much what? Fruit? Much what? Much what?
Fruit.
Thank you. Fruit. Not sour grapes. Sweet fruit. Sweet fruit. Folks, well, what's fruit? Well, fruit's love, we know. It's not love, though. It's agape love. It's a different kind of love. He told us we're branches. You remember the story. And that He is a vine. Well, what do branches do? When you go out here and you look at a tree, you look at the branches, what are they doing? They're hanging in there. That's what they're doing. They're hanging in there, you know. They're right there at the vine, though. They're right there at the, you know, the tree itself. They're just kind of going with the wind. They're hanging in there. And the only way they can hang in there is being connected to the vine. Or they won't hang in there anymore. They're connected to the vine. So as I stay connected to the vine by getting to know Him and join Him every day, by the way, every day, the fruit will come of its own accord. You check that out. It just does. It's just a byproduct. Hey, look, if you're an apple tree, if you have an apple tree out there in your yard, once it gets mature, the apple doesn't have to say, the apple tree doesn't have to say, okay, give me an apple. I gotta have an apple. It doesn't convince itself it needs to produce an apple. Okay? It just does. While those branches abide in the vine and it's an apple tree, it just naturally comes. All of a sudden, ooh, there's an apple. Oh, it's fruit. Oh, here's another one. That's what we should do. We should be so much into the vine that we're apples, or we're not really apples, I guess we're like Christians, and we need to produce that love naturally. We're steeped into the vine. The vine's given us all this love and agape love, and it's not our love, it's His love, and we're enjoying Him every day, and we're synced into the vine, and the next thing you know, someone comes up to you and goes, man, you're not the same guy I knew 6 months ago. You're not the same woman that I've talked to last year. You're different. There's something different about you. You're producing fruit. There's fruit all over the place. There's pineapples and apples and coming everywhere. You're a fruity kind of person. Matter of fact, they named a cereal after you. It's Fruit Loops. We can get loopy, can't we? But that's the reality of the truth of our word. Abiding in Him. You don't have to make yourself do something. It just naturally, supernaturally, naturally produces the fruit in your life. But you have to stay connected. So fruit comes from you continue when you continue to do just what you're doing now, coming to church. Are you a once a monther? Once every year? Once every 3 months? Or do you get excited on Sunday? You know, I tell all the, we pray in here, all the servants, before you guys get here to get everything ready. You know, I tell them, this is game day! I wanted them to wear, you know, stuff underneath there, but they were game day. We're going to love on people. That's what we're going to do today. We're going to pray for them. We're going to love them, whether they want it or not. There's this one particular person here, I won't tell you who he is. I've been trying to kiss him on the cheek for 2 years. He won't let me. I'm going to get him. You wait. I'm going to kiss that guy on the cheek. You just wait. He's just going to be tooling along one day, and bam, there's Pastor Ben. Kiss him on the cheek. I don't know if he'll pass out or what he'll do, but I'm going to get him because I love him. Plus, I know it bothers him. So, so we need to understand this fruit thing and how we produce it. It's not hard. You just hang in there. And you do what you're doing now. You come to Bible study. You come on Wednesday nights. You know, we got all kinds of different Bible studies. We have a 9 o'clock Bible study every morning right in here. Awesome Bible study. We have awesome coffee. Saturday morning, I'm plugging Mike's Bible study. Saturday morning, I've never been there because it's too early. 7:30. Is he nuts? No. 7:30. I've been there once, I think, right? 7:30. Be there, guys, especially you military guys. 7:30, yeah. Let's have it at 5 in the morning. That's how you guys are. But 7:30, we have a men's thing in here. And it's awesome. And so come to these different ladies' events and things we have at church. That's your, you're abiding there. You're fellowshipping. You're getting the nutrients that you need. Spending time, hanging in there week after week, month after month, year after year. Slowly but surely, as you stay connected to Jesus, guess what, gang? Guess what? More and more of His agape love will seep into you and through you to others. You watch and see that happen. You watch and wait. Because you know why? Love never fails. Amen?
That concludes our study for today. Please join us next time as Pastor Ben continues to teach us verse by verse through the whole Word of God and shows us how God's Word applies to our lives today. For more information about our Cutting Edge Radio Ministry or Calvary Chapel of the Sandhills, you can call us at 910-684-5296 or write to us at P.O. Box 102, Aberdeen, North Carolina, 28315. You can also visit us online at calvarychapelsandhills.com. Until next time, may the Lord richly bless you as you seek to know Him more.